John Barr, Portfolio Manager for the Needham Growth Fund and the Needham Aggressive Growth Fund is here, and we're talking growth stocks now on the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, everybody, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for, what they see happening right now, how they put it all together, and more. We find out what they like and dislike, and ultimately, we find out how they feel about some securities you're particularly interested in when we get to hold it or fold it. My guest is John Barr. He is manager of both the Needham Growth Fund, that's N-E-E-G-X, and the Needham Aggressive Growth Fund, that's N-E-A-G-X. To learn more, go to needhamfunds.com. But if you want to see the manager commentary, not only from John, but from Chris Retzler, one of his colleagues who's been on the show as well, well, go find John on the Money Life Show recent guest page, and you will find a long link that gets you to the Needham Funds manager commentary page. John Barr, thank you for joining me again on Money Life.
Hello, Chuck.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. And, you know, we always start with methodology because I said we're going to talk growth stocks, but growth investing means different things to different people, just as value is in the eye of the beholder. So explain what it is that you need to see that makes something not just a growth stock, but makes it your kind of growth stock.
Right. So our mission is to create wealth for long-term investors and to do that by investing in companies that can generate above market returns with an emphasis on capital preservation over a long time frame. And long time frame average turnover in the funds ranges from 6% to 16%. So average holding period of 6 to 10 years plus. So we're really looking for great companies that can earn an above market return over a long period of time. And if you look at our methodology, so what do we look for in these companies? First off, we look for a market that can be significantly larger than it is today, and for a product or service that the stock market isn't giving the company credit for, so a market misperception. And secondly, we look for a management team that's got the time horizon to be thinking over that time frame and to think long term. So to me, that generally means founders, family, or long tenured managers. So those are the two key things. Can a product be a lot larger than it is today in terms of contribution to the company? And then do you have the right management team with a long-term focus to take advantage of it?
Well, so in these market conditions, what we've seen is a tremendous amount of growth in short term. But what we've also seen is a setup that I'm wondering if you worry that it's going to create maybe fool's gold is the right word going down the line. Why? Because you're looking for growth, and we saw an economy that was brought to a standstill. We saw a lot of companies that basically shuttered. Now they're reporting their earnings. They're not necessarily as ugly as were expected, but they're not pretty yet. They're maybe relatively better than expected. And oh, by the way, down the line, we're going to see massive growth. Not because they're actually growing, but because they're just getting back to normal. So does that change the process at all for you? Does it change what you're looking for in growth when the numbers have this kind of extraneous event?
Really good question and good point, Chuck. If we look at the first quarter and you look at the impact of the coronavirus on the economy, there have been sectors that have been really hit hard. And then there were others that first quarter earnings weren't quite as bad as anticipated. And surprisingly, second quarter outlook was certainly not good, but not bad and a lot better than anticipated. So there's a real bifurcation in the market. And it's reflected in what the stock prices have done too. But we think it's very important to look forward. I mean, this is a time of big change. Some some businesses are going to be left behind and others will flourish. And if we think about e-commerce, companies that have not been too active in e-commerce in 2 months have seen 5 years of acceleration of their investments and also the business results that followed. But for us, what does all this mean? There are a couple of areas that are really represented in our portfolio and have been long-term themes of ours. One is the infrastructure, the technology infrastructure, and I'll specifically highlight the cloud infrastructure build-out and cite data centers as an area that has been growing, but this puts a catalyst behind. And then the second is the build-out of the scientific infrastructure, which is used for life sciences research and related manufacturing. So we think those are two areas that we've been invested in for a long time. They're kind of underlying. They're not as upfront or out front as some of the consumer-facing areas, but they have benefited and have seen good acceleration in this crisis, and we think they're well positioned for the time horizon of our investing horizon.
But in that time horizon, we're going to see their growth almost certainly have to slow. You got this artificial push. At some point, things start to normalize a little bit, and if that happens, you could see some measure of leveling off. So is that what's going to make you sell? What's the sell discipline?
I think where you've seen the acceleration is in some of the e-commerce companies, some of the companies that are consumer-facing that may see a more normalized growth rate in the future. But the businesses, the infrastructure businesses, the research businesses on the life sciences side, I think are steadier. So I think you haven't really seen, 1 quarter doesn't make much of a difference for these companies. So I view them as steadier growers over a long period of time, that the tailwind has just gotten stronger. The sell discipline. We sell when something fundamental has changed relative to those new products that we were looking for to make a significant contribution. I do not sell just based on valuation. So I've found that with my experience, I've sold a lot of good companies at what seemed like great prices, but over time, over my time horizon, would have been a lot better not to recognize capital gains and sold early and to held on, because once you sell, it's really hard to buy it back. It just doesn't happen. So better to hold on if you believe in the fundamentals of the long-term growth thesis. So the things to sell on, another thing to sell on would be a change in management or a change in management philosophy. But so those two things to sell. But in general, with a 10% turnover, we don't sell a lot.
Given what happened to growth, was there a period where you couldn't find much to buy because, you know, it was only one or two industries you maybe wanted to be a little bit more diversified, or anything else that was stopping you from buying?
The portfolios don't turn over that much. We look for one or two companies a quarter. We may lose on the small cap side. We'll have a handful that are acquired over the course of a year and they need to be replaced. So through the crisis, really just continued to research as we always do. An important exercise was to look at the runway. How much cash do you have in one of your businesses if revenue goes down a lot? So we did that and were convinced. I think we had one business that had 4 or 5 quarters where it could go. Revenue dropped off a lot, but most of the technology companies that we hold had plenty of cash and could afford a big drawdown. So that was the big exercise that we did in the in the March timeframe. So limited turnover again. There were things that were on sale in March and April, and we added to a few positions, but generally are very run pretty fully invested, so not a lot of change.
So now let's jump in and talk about some ideas that my audience is particularly interested in.
Wait, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's hold it or fold it time with my guest, John Barr, manager of the Needham Growth Fund and the Needham Aggressive Growth Fund. Get more information at needhamfunds.com. Hold it or fold it's where we put our guests to your test. You know how to do that, so we're going to jump straight in. And, well, we're going to start with a couple of requests we got from Dave in Trumbull, Connecticut, because, well, they're related. Dave was interested in some of those data center kind of companies that John mentioned, so we'll put them all together. QTS Realty Trust, that's ticker QTS, CoreSite Realty Corp, COR, and Digital Realty Trust, DLR.
Positive on all three. To draw the distinction between them, Digital Realty Trust just did an interesting acquisition of a leading European company, InterZion. As REITs, these companies have strong dividends. Digital Realty Trust is 3%, CoreSite is 4.0%, and QTS Realty Trust is 2.7%. So we're very positive on the data center space. We think this is the first foundationally new infrastructure in nearly a century. And these are three great companies that are in that.
And
all are
in the buying range for you? They're all priced at a spot where you can justify buying, or are they simply holds?
They're okay. The dividend yields are good. They're earning more than the dividend yield. Although as REITs, they need to pay out a significant portion of their earnings. But I think it's okay. Certainly, pullbacks are better. We've had quite a run since late March. But a big believer in dollar cost averaging into the market, and now's the time to start.
Buy, buy, buy. Three buys, although admittedly, buying them on the dips would be better than maybe paying full price. On QTS, QTS Realty Trust, COR, CoreSite Realty Corp, and DLR, Digital Realty Trust. Dave in Trumbull, Connecticut had one more request, this for International Business Machines. That, of course, is IBM.
I say no on IBM. It does have a nice dividend, but it is a shrinking business. Revenue's been down for the last few years, independent of the pandemic. Earnings growth last year was strictly a result of a much lower tax rate. If you fully tax IBM, earnings would have been down a good bit last year. And if you look at the dividend payout, it was something like 90%. So not really sustainable. And they're on the wrong side of this transition to computing in data centers and the hyperscalers such as Amazon's AWS and Microsoft's Azure. Well, IBM sells a lot of equipment to enterprises, and that's a shrinking business.
Oh, boy,
so
that sounded bad.
Better places.
Yep, that was a fold on IBM International Business Machines. Next, for Nick in Darien, Illinois, and Richard in Chula Vista, California, it's Raytheon Technologies, RTX.
Raytheon to buy. Raytheon just merged with United Technologies. There are good margin expansion opportunities here. The defense business is a, unfortunately, long-term growth business. It's hard to see that there's ever a real sustained downturn in that kind of spending, and Raytheon's the leader.
Raytheon Technologies, it was Raytheon Corp, is a buy.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Now, Richard in Chula Vista gets another request, but we're going to combine it with the second because we're covering, again, similar spaces. Richard wanted to know about Agnico Eagle Mines, that's AEM, and Mike in Redwood City, California wanted to know about Newmont Corp, another mining stock, ticker NEM.
I think these are both buys. If you look at what's happening from a fiscal and monetary perspective, gold is a beneficiary, or if you look at it as an inverse of paper currencies, it can be volatile relative to those currencies, but if you take it on a long-term horizon, it provides protection. Its purpose is not the same as investing in growth stocks. Its purpose can be seen as protection. And these are two of the largest, best gold miners. They both pay reasonable dividends, but you really would be owning them for the long term and for the protection they can provide.
I love gold!
So it's a call on Agnico Eagle Mines and Newmont Corp. AEM and NEM both are buys. And speaking of goodbyes, it's gotten to where we have to say our goodbyes to John Barr. But John, always great to chat with you. Thanks for taking the time. Please stay safe and come back and talk to us again soon.
Thank you, Chuck.
Again, that's John Barr, everybody. He is portfolio manager for the Needham Growth Fund and Needham Aggressive Growth Fund. NeedhamFunds.com for more information. We are just about done with No Pants Friday and this week, but man, we got great stuff coming next week, so I'll tell you all about it before we send you home for the weekend, right after this message.